Now, when we're baptized, original sin is taken away, but the effect of original sin is still with us. This is the same thing as in confession. When we go to confession, our sins are forgiven, but we're asked to do a penance. Because if we don't do a penance to remind ourselves of trying to avoid this sin in the future, it will keep coming back. And so, you know, sometimes our penances are very simple. They're just prayers to say. But I like to give people penances that are our action penances. If two kids come to me and they've been fighting with one another, and they each come to confession, I've been fighting with my sister, I've been fighting with my brother, you know what I give them for a penance? Tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to kiss your sister, kiss your brother, and say, I love you. A lot of them go, yuck. I'd rather say three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. If a husband comes to me and says, I have been very impatient with my wife, then I'll say, I want you to bring flowers home to your wife tomorrow. If a wife says, I've not been good to my husband lately, I'll say, I want you to fix your husband's favorite meal for the evening tea tomorrow. Those penances are action penances that really make us think and carry our confession over into our daily life, right? And even if you don't get a penance like that, that's what you should do to correct your life, to get rid of the effect of the sin. So we deal with the sin and the effect. And with original sin, all of humanity is struggling with the effect of original sin. But we can win the struggle because all through our life, God keeps giving us His grace. You know, there have been times when I have been tempted to lie, to get myself out of a difficult situation. Have you ever had a situation where you're tempted to lie? Sometimes I have lied because this is the easy way out. Have you ever lied? You better say yes, because if you say no, you're lying. And I'll excommunicate you all. All right. Now, sometimes we give in and we lie. But sometimes I have not given in, and I've swallowed my pride and I've told the truth. Has that ever happened to you, that you've told the truth, even when it was difficult? So, if we could tell the truth some of the time, we could tell the truth all of the time, right? We just choose not to because of pride, laziness, disobedience. Now the thing is, we have the grace to tell the truth all the time. We know it because we tell the truth some of the time. And it's against human nature to tell the truth. It is human nature to always try to get out of trouble. Like our kids always try to get out of the trouble. And adults are supposed to teach kids that the only way you get out of trouble is by telling the truth. My mother always said, I don't care what you kids do, as long as you don't lie. If you lie about it after you've done something wrong, it makes it twice as bad. So, Our Lady never lied. Not because she had some magic bubble around her, but because she lived in God's grace, the grace she received at her Immaculate Conception, the grace we receive at our baptism, which takes away our original sin. But she always worked with the grace. She never gave in to pride or disobedience. Instead of telling the truth just some of the time, she told the truth all of the time. There are some times when I don't feel like helping people, and I see people coming, and I say to them, oh, I know what she's going to ask me, and I turn around and go the other way. Oh, I have to go to the toilet. I go the other way. Have you ever avoided anybody? Yes. Have you ever seen somebody, and you knew that they were going to ask you about something, and you said, oh, well, I might as well do it. They probably need me for some reason. Have you ever given in and talked to somebody even though you didn't really want to listen to them or help someone even though you'd rather do something else? Yes, we do it some of the time. Mary did it all of the time. She worked with God's grace every day. So the effect of her Immaculate Conception stayed with her throughout her life. She never lost God's grace, which is why the angel came to her at the Annunciation and said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. We could be the same way. We could. We have the same grace, the same sanctifying grace in baptism that Mary received in her Immaculate Conception. But we just don't. We give in. And so if the angel were to come to us, what would the angel say? Hail, half full of grace. Hail, one quarter full of grace. The Lord is sometimes with you, sometimes not. You see, we could be just like Mary. There was no magic protecting her from sin, only grace, the same grace that we receive in the sacraments. So the Immaculate Conception honors Our Lady. When we celebrate the feast on December the 8th, it honors Our Lady, who is preserved free from sin from the moment of her conception, but it's also a challenge to us to remember our own baptism and to try to live in God's grace more often, so that when we die, if we are full of grace, we'll go straight to heaven. If we're not full of grace, we have to go to the service station, which is purgatory. If we're on empty, then we go to the used car lot, which is hell. The next doctrine, again, not in order, but in logical consequence, is the virgin birth. Now, the virgin birth is about the birth of Jesus, of the Virgin Mary. How this happened, I still cannot figure out, because the Church teaches that Mary was a virgin before Jesus was born, during his birth, and all the rest of her life. She never had any other children. Some people say, well, what about the Bible where it talks about Jesus' brothers and sisters? Now, we have to understand that the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew and in Greek. And in those languages, they have no word for cousins, nephews, aunts, uncles, all those relations. They only have one word for anybody other than mother, father, son, and daughter. That word in Greek is adelphoi, which means family members. We translate it as brothers, but it really means family members, male or female. So sometimes if the reader says brothers and sisters, that's perfectly fine. It's a good translation. And the newest translation of the readings coming out from America, which will probably go to most English-speaking countries, says brothers and sisters. Remember the story of Abraham and how he went from his country in Chaldea, which is now Iraq, and came over to the Promised Land, and he brought with him his nephew, it says, his nephew Lot. Remember Lot, because his wife did not work with God's grace. She was nosy. She had to see what all the commotion was about in Sodom and Gomorrah. She turned around and looked, even though the angel had said, do not turn around and look. She did exactly that. And what happened to her? Turned into a pillar of salt. Yes. That fixed her, didn't it? She never turned around again. I bet her daughters learned a lesson from that too. Well, it says Lot was Abraham's nephew. But elsewhere, in another text of the same story, it says that Lot was Abraham's brother. And then in another place, Abraham says to Lot, my son. So we know right from the Bible that if you just take one text, you might believe one thing, but if you weave all the texts together, you will understand that Lot was a relative of Abraham. But it wasn't his son, because Abraham was complaining to God, how am I supposed to be the father of many nations when I have no sons? And so God finally gave him two, one by his wife's handmaid, and that boy's name was Ishmael, and then one by his wife, and that boy's name was Isaac. So the very fact that Abraham calls Lot his son shows us that the word even means more than just the child of a parent. It means a relative. So now we have Jesus being talked about, and they say, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Where'd he get all these powers? Isn't Mary his mother? Aren't Simon and Joseph and Judas and James his brothers? Don't we know his sisters? And just quickly about it, those four names, Simon and Joseph and Judas, and not Judas, the one who betrayed him, another Judas, and James, are found elsewhere in the Gospels. If you read all four Gospels and look for those names, you will find them all as the children of other people. In fact, they're mostly the children of the women who were at the cross. Remember this, who was at the cross? Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Clopas, three Marys.